Good afternoon. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on General Government. Today is April 8th, 2015. And we're going to be opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 5518, the Legislative Assembly. And today we're going to be hearing from Betsy and from Amelia. Darren, what do we need to know before we get started?
I don't think you need to know anything.
We don't need to know anything. So if the two of you would like to come on up and share with us what we need to know.
And Mr. Chair, you yes. should always add the word briefly.
Not with these two. Everyone else, yes. These two, you take all the time in the world.
We'll be brief. Yeah, Mr. Chair, brief sounds great to me. Should I start? Chair Smith, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Amelia Porterfield. I'm the Chief of Staff for House Speaker Tina Kotek.
And I'm Betsy Imholt, Chief of Staff to Senator Courtney.
And we're here today to discuss the legislative branch budget. And as members of the legislature, you obviously have some familiarity with the operations and the mission of the legislative branch. There are six different agencies, and you're hearing from them throughout the week in committee. And as the administrative heads of the legislative branch, the presiding officers have tasked us to come work with the directors of those agencies on the branch budget as a whole to make a recommendation back to this committee and to the co-chairs. But also we are here on behalf of the Legislative Assembly today. And before I get into that, I wanted to just take a brief moment. We're not often in front of microphones in this way, but while we're here, I want to honor the work and the staff around the Capitol who toil every day to make sure that we are all able to do what we do. There are many people we work with frequently. There are others that we don't see very often, but we couldn't get our work done without them, so I wanted to thank them here. So a very brief overview of the Assembly is what I'll start with, and then highlight a few of the actions taken in the past biennium. And then Betsy will talk about how we move forward towards the next. So the Legislative Assembly is the largest of the six branch agencies. Some of that is just because we have 90 members, and you start multiplying things by 90, and it gets a little bigger. So included in the Assembly are the House and Senate members and their offices, the four caucus offices, the Speaker's office, Senate President's office, and our Senate Secretary and Chief Clerk of the House. Those are the pieces. The Assembly CSL budget includes about 442 positions, 254 FTE. As we all know, we have a lot of folks that work here during session and are away in the interim, so that accounts for that difference. And it's just over $43 million for the Assembly. So going back to this past biennium, as you'll recall, for those of you who have been here a little bit longer, last biennium was really about coming out of the recession and restoring stability to the branch. Part of that was a restoration of steps and COLAs for branch staff, including some in the Assembly, after quite a long salary freeze was thawed. We've also been continuing to learn and adapt to annual sessions. This has been our second full biennium of implementing the voter-approved annual sessions, and so there are some adjustments. I think we're all still learning that cycle. And one of the adjustments we made in the Assembly budget in this past biennium was adding staff resources for the short session. So we added basically a second person for that month and a half. We also have had some significant staff changes in the Assembly. We have two new parliamentarians. The House and Senate each hired a new person, and so they're getting up to speed. They've each been here less than a year. So that is a significant change for both chambers. Speaking of the chambers, we've also continued the past practice of allocating a few dollars for chamber improvements that have been not the hugest significant issues, but make sure that we can maintain and operate the chambers themselves. One of the bigger pieces from the past biennium's budget was allocations of funds to tackle the question of increased policy and research capacity for the legislative branch. So we set aside some funds to explore that question. It had been a very long discussion for members in both chambers, but hadn't really tackled the how and the what that would be. So there are several members of this committee who served on a work group. Thank you for that time. Over the interim to consider different states' options and possibilities and costs and size and all of that of how to move forward. Those recommendations the compilation of that work is being put into a report from the consultants that we hired to help with that, and should be back to us shortly so that we can consider that as we move forward towards looking towards the next biennium to implement some of that those recommendations. So that's a brief summary of the past biennium. Again, it's been a stability session, and now Betsy can talk about moving forward.
So I'm just going to walk through our process for developing the budget for the 15-17 biennium for the whole branch, of which, of course, the Assembly is a piece of, but there's five other agencies that are involved in that as well. And I know you've been hearing from them yesterday, and you'll hear from more today and tomorrow. The first thing we did, like other agencies do, is we asked for that 5 and 10% reductions list. And then we also asked folks for a list of their policy option packages. And then we sat down with all of the agency directors more recently and really went through all of those to better understand what those reductions would look like and what the enhancements would look like too. And what I can tell you from that exercise is that it doesn't take much on the reduction side to get at real people and real program cuts, especially on the analysis side. And then on the enhancements, what folks are looking at are very targeted and very specific and very moderate, and really looking to solve a very specific identified need. So we're really taking all that information now and working with LFO to prepare what will become hopefully the LFO recommendation to this committee. And what I can tell you is that we're prioritizing enhancements that focus on the following things. Number one is staffing the legislature to serve as an equal branch of government. Number two is enhancing your ability to hold the executive branch agencies accountable, make policy, and serve your constituents. Number three is providing the public greater access to the legislative process. And finally, the safety and security of the employees and the public while they're in this building. It's our intention to recommend modest investments while staying within the CSL. The co-chairs have been clear with us about that. And that this budget will allow you to provide more analysis, more research, and more due diligence, because we recognize that as this environment's getting more complex, that that's really something that you are asking for and that you need. Thank you.
Do we have any questions? Any comments? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Mr. Co-Chair?
Representative.
I have your organizational chart here on my screen, and I was wondering if there's any increases or decreases in the amount of FTE in the legislative branch.
In the overall branch?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there's any decreases in the CSL budget. Nope.
Okay, thank you.
Senator.
Thank you, Ms. Imholt. Is there any plan, overt plan, to create a legislative policy office?
Yes, Chair Smith, Senator Whitsitt. As I mentioned, the work that was done by yourself and other members over the interim is being compiled into a report that is almost final. What our goal would be is to take that work and see how we might implement some of those recommendations. It wasn't entirely unanimous on every piece of that work group, but how to move forward and implement something for the coming biennium so that that we wouldn't staff up by the end of this year necessarily, but how we move forward in the 15-17 biennium to enhance that capacity. So that is something we will be bringing back to you as we get that.
So there's no plan to do anything this biennium?
Chair Smith and Senator, was it not the 13-15 biennium, but moving forward into 15-17, yes, we would hope to explore that.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
Any other thoughts or comments? Representative.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry that I was late again. I have heard several examples in the past half year of how the Oregon legislature is a great model, that there are so many things that work better here or we have a good track record or a better reputation in certain areas compared to other states, and I'm really pleased about that. Some of that, all due respect to the Senate, I just don't sit on the Senate side. I don't hear those stories, but on the House side, when we were going through a transition period and recruiting and hiring a new chief clerk of the House, there's some additional thinking that goes on about how do things work here in the Legislative Assembly, and we were really pleased to see that, there's some things we do well and people notice. By the same token, it seems like we can always do more, and sometimes as I look at how we do things, the business of running the branch, I think, some of these things are pretty old-fashioned in the business world. In the private sector, they've moved on. You know, like in 1990, they were ahead of where we are in some of our internal processes. And it could be that we're a small enough budget and a small enough group that it doesn't rise to the level of importance that it does in other places. Then again, we're a small enough agency that it shouldn't cost a bazillion dollars to design, you know, some new process to do something. So at the same time, I want to acknowledge congratulations and kudos for a really good reputation and doing a lot of things really well. I look forward to continued efforts to modernize what we do.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Please send our best to the President and the Speaker of the House.
Certainly will. Thanks
Thank
for having
you
me
so
being.
Much.
Thank you. All right. Kevin, come on down. So they were able to do it in 14 minutes.
I will strive to achieve that goal. Good afternoon, Co-Chair Smith, Co-Chair Steiner Hayward, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Kevin Hayden, and I am the legislative administrator. That's been my honor to serve in that capacity for the past 2 years. So as I quickly find the right button here on this version, now I have to prove my age and put on my glasses. There you go. Thank you. Legislative Administration's mission is simple and yet rather complex. We support the legislature, which means you and your staff. We help the general public gain access to the legislative process. We take care of the Capitol building. We take care of the people in the Capitol building. We provide varying degrees of service to the other legislative branch agencies and executive branch agencies, and we do all of this as effectively and efficiently as possible. To meet that mission, we have just over 100 FTE, but that number varies wildly as far as employees on board, whether we're in session or during the interim. We fluctuate from about 90 employees during each interim, and plus up to around 45 more during session, the majority of that in committee services, but we get additional staff in IS and facilities to also help cover the additional workload. Our five business units, our facility services, which manages the Capitol's infrastructure, doing everything from maintaining mechanical and electrical systems, providing custodial services, handling purchasing duties, and serving the public with information and tours. Financial services provides fiscal support to the legislature through budgeting and accounting. Financial services, they handle all of our accounts payable, accounts receivable, and handle a lot of budget projections as we go through the budgeting process. Information services is responsible for overseeing all of our systems, information systems, providing maintenance on computers and other electronics, They work with the development and procurement of new systems and also broadcasting all of the legislative meetings, broadcasting and recording. They manage the support of all of that. Committee services are the one branch that most of you probably know best out of this, because they provide all of the staffing, nonpartisan administrative support for all of the policy committees. They also work on the task forces and work groups that are established during the interim, and prepare background papers and other research information that's available to you and to the public on the internet. And finally, employee services is responsible for providing centralized human resources support for the entire legislature, including hiring, benefits management, and all of those other services. Our KPMs remain unchanged. I'm going to talk about them a little bit out of order to start with, because I put a stoplight chart along the side as we were looking at how they worked out. And the first one is our website. Over the last biennium, we put a lot of work into the website. 2 years ago, we had a 33% approval rating, and it's gone up to 71%. Most of our feedback, or a majority of the feedback, comes from the legislature and people who work here in the building. So over the next biennium, we really want to see if we can survey and find out how the public is using it better to make sure that it's meeting their needs, because so much of our website is really focused outward to help people gain access to information about the legislature, about the people here, about how to come to the building and enjoy it. So we're going to continue to work on that goal, but it has made great progress over the last year. The other red light on our KPM is diversity, which is measured against census data. So comparing it to the last report, again, we are up slightly, but still have not reached our goal. The 2013 census says that in Oregon, about 22.5% of the populace is non-white, and we lag slightly behind that. So we use NeoGov to try to reach as many people as possible. And when we're advertising for jobs, we participate with in the statewide diversity conference and really work to find ways to ensure that cultural diversity remains in the forefront of thought with our managers and with our staff as we're hiring and looking at how things are working. Next, customer service is down a little bit from last year. We measure customer service through a survey that we send out on an annual basis. We send that survey to about 350 people, all legislators, their staff, all continuing employees. We got 64 responses. So that's about 18% of the people responded. That 18% of the people still said that overall customer service was at 81%. We would really love it to be higher. The biggest hits were in accuracy and availability of information. So we will certainly work on those. Helpfulness and timeliness were ranked consistently high on most of the reports.
Can you help me understand what the definition of availability of information would mean?
The availability of information, if you were seeking to change your W-2, you know, how do you go about getting to information to take care of employment information, those sorts of things that are available on the intranet. This year we're really going to be looking at our intranet to see if we can make it so that it's easier for you to find the information you need and not need to necessarily seek someone out, or if you do seek someone out, that you know exactly who has that answer. So it's both knowing who to go to get the right answer and where to find the information if you don't want to talk to someone, which with a younger workforce, a lot of people would prefer to just get it on their own if they can't find it in two clicks.
So just really quick, in that survey, is a committee administrator being lumped in with a human resource person?
Well,
someone else?
Chair Smith, Rick Berkobian sends out a separate survey just for committee administrators so he can get a real look at what they're doing and how he's doing that. when this survey goes out, it does ask the question overall. There are a lot of categories where we'll say, how is the customer service in facility services? How is the customer okay. service in employee services? So each of the units is questioned separately. I just put down kind of the overall, we're kind of right there, although you do see that IT customer support is done separately because that is actually responses to service calls. That's one of their key elements. So we do break it out a little bit. We just need to make sure that each of our units is really, they're focused on customer service, but that they're more proactive in making sure that information is available.
That's interesting because to me, 80% seems low. I mean, my experience has been, it's been phenomenal. I mean, I can't find anyone who hasn't done a phenomenal job.
Chair,
kind of surprises me.
Chair Smith, as someone who has worked in HR for a huge portion of my professional life and done a lot of customer service surveys, you know, one of the sad facts is people who generally respond either really loved what you did or they were the people who didn't like. So sometimes you take the no response as we're doing at least a good job.
Right.
So okay. It's really striving to get those negative inputs cut down.
Yeah, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Just a quick question about the diversity and what you've been doing on this, and I don't know how to state this any softer than this, but at one time we had several people here, and I don't know if it comes down to how they filled out their application, but I knew them because they were previous students at Woodburn High School, and yet they were recent people out of the prison system. And they worked here. Oh, that was when we were doing the transition in of moving into our new offices that we currently have. And then one day he comes and he says, well, you know, I'm not going to be working here anymore. And that's all he told me. And so I didn't know what your policies are or if this was just an anomaly or... I mean, and this kid was a good kid. He just makes lots of mistakes, but and a hard worker. But it's like, okay, like I kind of felt like he's like I got found out, so I'm out of here or something. But
Co-Chair Smith, Co-Chair Steiner Hayward, Representative Comp. I don't know that particular case firmly in the back of my head, and I really don't like to talk. About individual reasons
right.
for, that people leave in an open forum like this, but I could certainly go back, follow up with you after this and check and see. But we don't...
Mr. Co-Chair, just for clarification, I'm just curious about what your policies are about hiring somebody that's been incarcerated.
I'm not aware of a specific policy that says that we don't, and that we've ever made a hiring decision based on that alone. It's you know, obviously if the person came in and was working, I don't know what the reason was that they might have left. But once they're here, generally, if someone leaves, it's either their choice or performance based. I like I said, not knowing the elements of that particular one, I can't really say much further.
Yeah, well, and I agree. This probably is something I should have talked to you offline rather than online.
So, Madam Co-Chair, just very quickly.
Yeah.
I need to leave to go visit with some constituents, but I want to share with you how much I appreciate all the work you do, all the work your staff does. It's excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent. You treat our staff phenomenally well. I don't think there's ever been a time we haven't had a question that we haven't just been treated wonderfully. So please pass that on to your team, would you?
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator, what's it?
Thank you. Can we address turnover a little bit? I know you've had a lot of turnover in your IT staff, particularly in your programming staff. And could we address what's going on there and how we can keep that from causing us further travails during this particular legislative session and then into the future.
Co-Chair Steiner Hayward, Senator Whitsitt, absolutely. That was the next thing and that we were going to talk about is turnover. And our turnover in general is just measured against the national average for other government organizations. We show it as yellow because we are slightly above that average at 15.6%. For everybody who leaves here, we send them an electronic survey to find out the reasons that they left. Our turnover numbers that are listed up there include retirements, voluntary resignations, and transfers to other agencies. Losing any good employee is always a concern, and we want to work to always retain the best and the brightest. Looking back after talking with you a little bit offline and really looking back into the numbers to try to see, the number that we project up there that gave us a yellow at a 16% turnover rate is for 13-14, which is 6 resignations, 6 transfers, and 2 retirements. So if the overall legislative administration agency turnover rate is 16%, IS specifically is slightly lower than that average for the whole agency. At 4 of those people this year were theirs, or in the year that's reported. Again, not wanting to talk into specific personalities or reasons that people left, because they are sometimes private, sometimes they share those. We certainly look at any area that we think somebody is leaving for a reason that we could have prevented, and we try to work on the root cause of that reason. We have been working in IS for some time to make sure that we are addressing some of the issues, and many of the people that work there are quite the opposite of what you're talking about. And we are certainly hiring new people to come in to work to make sure that we don't drop the ball on anything during the legislative session.
Sure. The percentages are for which year?
The percentages that I'm talking specifically about right here are for the 13-14, because it's a comparison that we make for...
We're talking about 14-15.
Well, so moving into 14-15, I did ask that we get those numbers. We have had a couple of people again leave from down there, no more than in previous years. Certainly, we want to make sure that we can retain the best people, the best and brightest. So we continue to work on those management issues that may have been contributing to some of the people leaving.
Good. Other questions before we move on? Thank you. Ms. Raden.
And then finally, the last two, obviously the one thing I do want to brag on, you know, the Gold Star Certificate, the Chief Financial Officer's Gold Star Certificate is given annually. Our goal is the number of years out of the last 5, and I can tell you that looking at our reports for the last 9 at least, that I can tell, they have always achieved that goal down in financial services. So they are keeping the numbers straight, which makes me very happy. And then the IT customer support number again is when you put in a trouble call and need some help, they average around 96% satisfaction. And have for some time. So, our accomplishments over the past biennium. One of the biggest things, the 2013 legislature authorized funding so that we could do a design phase for the Oregon State Capitol renovation project as part of the Capitol Master Plan. We are working. And have been working diligently on that. You have probably at various times seen holes in walls, and if you go down into the basement, we still have some holes in the floor so that people can look at the conditions of the existing furnishings. We've done window infiltration testing and water testing and soils testing, all to better better understand the building to make sure that any design that's put forward truly makes the building safer for everybody in it. So we've been working on that project for most of this biennium. During the last biennium, money was approved for facilities to work on all of the projects listed up there, and all have been completed. The same is true for information services. The audio-video system in particular, the Granicus system, that we all now are able to not just listen to what's going on when we want to go look at past hearings, but you can actually go back and watch a recording and make a clip of it for whatever use you might need. We've gotten really good feedback from the public and from other people on its ease of use and how it works. The citizen engagement project that I talk about up there, one of the goals that we set forth here is that the Capitol is a wonderful building, and a lot of people don't take the opportunity to come and visit us. We get a lot of visitors that come through here, but we really felt like we could improve upon that. They have been working throughout the year, both the History Gateway project, which you have probably seen down in the Galleria. There are three new freestanding displays that we can move around and use as we need to help people understand the legislative process and leave notes and get involved. But beyond that, we've also been able to, with no additional funding, relying heavily on our volunteers that work here at the Capitol, be open on Saturdays, not every Saturday, but to target working with other history-focused partners here in the area to bring people in when it's easier for them to come in. So on the, for example, the 76th or the state's birthday, we were open on the 14th of February, and we got about 2,000 people who were able to come in. The same was true for the Cherry Blossom Day at the Fast Capitol, which unfortunately all of the cherry blossoms were gone by the time it happened. But we got between 1,500 and 2,000 people who were able to come in, enjoy an event that had both a historical and cultural significance by working with others. So we're really, really proud of what our visitor service team has been able to do in that manner, and will continue to do, including this Saturday. We'll be open for an upcycle event, so you can come and bring in your used electronics that you no longer want to have laying around your house, all free of charge. And then finally, our new employee onboarding process was a joint effort between Facility Services, IS, and Employee Services to try to give one-stop shopping so that you can get your badge, your access to computers, you know, understand who to call in facilities, get a little bit of training, get all of that in one quick 3 to 4 hour period, and then you're a working employee. So again, it's brand new, just started at the beginning of this session, but we've got pretty good feedback, and we'll be surveying on that as we go. So what are our goals for the coming year? One of the things that it's truly hard for someone who doesn't work here at the Capitol to understand is the length of time that it takes to really understand the full legislative cycle, what happens during the entire 2 years. So I've been here 2 years now. The last strategic plan that legislative administration formally adopted was 2004 to 2008. It's time to really look at that and make sure that the services that we're providing really match up with the services and the needs of what we're doing today. Sort of in line with what Representative Nathanson talked about, you know, we would love to be providing 21st-century solutions and services, and we are not always providing 21st-century services and solutions. So we want to make sure that our strategic plan supports moving forward in that to that end.
But may I just say, Mr. Hayden, your IS team is a bunch of rock stars. They're prompt, they come quickly, they solve problems, they never make us feel dumb, and they're really great, and I really like working with every single one of them.
Thank you very much.
I've told them directly, but it's always nice to say so publicly.
I will make sure I pass that on once again. And to that end, although legislative administration has not had a strategic plan, the IS did have a 5-year strategic plan that was developed by our current information services manager, and it runs through 2015. So it's time to look at it again in conjunction with our overall planning and look to make sure that we're providing leading-edge information systems that we're really supporting the business needs as they exist today, and look for those areas of enhancement. One of those areas that has been run through the IT governance board that exists is related to continuity of operations, and that's to make sure that we're really, really prepared in the event of some sort of catastrophic event, that we are able to recover our systems and get back up and running as quickly as possible. So that's one of the folks that'll be working on this biennium. Again, visitor services will continue in all of their partnership with the Oregon State Capitol Foundation on the History Gateway, and on their weekend and other informational events. So our budget drivers, personnel make up well over 50% of our budget. When the chiefs talked about 5% and 10% cuts, really cutting into real programs and real people, with the majority of our budget really being the funding of those people, it's always a challenge when we look at what we would be able to cut and still provide the services. Maintenance and operations at the Capitol, it's a 76-year-old building that needs constant attention, and I think our facility services staff, specifically the custodial staff and the tradespeople, do a great job of making this building continue to show as well as she can. They evaluation of projects that they can accomplish is always challenging based on the legislative cycle, being able to complete a project and not impact when we're in session, when we're in legislative days, and those kinds of things. They're always able to get there, but it's always that challenge. Again, IS, looking at technology and business needs, it's again one of the larger drivers in the budget. The needs of legislative committees, as I said before, committee services roughly doubles in size during the long session. So the length of the session, the number of bills that are heard, the number of hearings and task forces that are impaneled, specifically task forces during the interim, they all impact staff need and how we can meet those needs. So, and then the last budget driver for the coming year is all of this is in context of the capital renovation project. Because the decision on whether or not we will move forward from a design phase to an actual construction phase isn't expected until later in session. We've really been looking at our budget to figure out what we could do no matter what happens. We don't make a lot of plans on doing capital improvements this year if we think we might be moving out. So we've tried to look at our budget to make sure that we're prioritizing projects that would make sense if the renovation project is not approved, that we can move forward and take care of some of the highest priority safety and environmental concerns that we have. And if we do move forward, that we're able to provide the same services and the same quality of service that's come to be expected here in the building in the temporary location. So finally, that brings us to the challenges, and the challenges aren't incredibly different from year to year. It's performing all of the different functions at the highest quality, ensuring that we have the right people here to do that, meeting the expectations of all of our stakeholders, of the legislature, and specifically of the general public. maintaining the Capitol in peak condition, and somebody said to me, well, maybe you shouldn't say peak condition, and I will say that that's always a challenge, and it's something that we will strive to do. If it's not in peak condition, we always want you to tell us so that we can go find a way to try to improve where it is. And then the final challenge says uncertainty associated with the renovation, and that uncertainty is just we've certainly looked at a lot of planning, but it's the idea of relocating the functions, the moves of all of the people, you know, trying to make sure that we are really looking at how to take care of people if the project gets forward and we move on. So I might have gone slightly longer than the chief's, but in a nutshell, that is my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Hayden. Other questions for Mr. Hayden? Well, if not, thank you very much. We very much appreciate your time, and I think we're done with you. So, I mean that in the most positive way. It means you don't have to sit around. Hey, don't be mean to me. You knew what I meant. Okay, I am closing today's hearing on Senate Bill 5518. Is there any other business before the committee?
You sound like Clint Eastwood.
Okay, stop. You're going to get me in trouble, Senator. It was an inelegant turn of phrase, and I apologize, Mr. Hayden. Any other business for the committee? Mr. Hill, Ms. Jensen, committee members. We're adjourned. See you later. Committee members. We're adjourned.